So greetings to you, and in particular to the crowd that's online. I just want to extend a warm welcome to you, and I pray that today you would not walk away from the screen, that you would stay focused on the message and participate, because today is more of a classroom instruction. You're going to actually have to send some information to Sheila, and I'll extend that to you. But I also want to make sure that you understood that if you have some needs over the holidays, please make sure you look at some of the things on the website, because I know a lot of people in the church would love to come alongside of you. So you are not by yourself, even though at the moment you may feel like that. And I think it's awesome that God provided the internet and all this technology. So basically when he created the earth, somewhere in there was a stealth about all this. So we're finally just tapping into it and using it to get the message out. So I want to make sure that you know that we miss you. I am pumped for when this is over, because I think it's just going to be a huge hug time somewhere. Hopefully at Chick-fil-A, but I'll let that be. So I want to make sure you know that in particular. But I'll get back to you all here in a little bit. You know, this global disease is sweeping every corner of the world. Its impact on so many people, mentally, physically, financially, culturally, is just devastating. Without hope, it seems that every day and every moment is hopeless, and that hope seems distant today. May we pray that these promises of hope that I briefly discussed with you will be a sounding board for us, an energy, give us a greater passion, shall we say, to extend this hope to others, to restore them today. I pray that when we go through these three key messages today about God being our hope, about hope for what is not seen, and us overflowing with hope would embed in our heart as we move forward. I mentioned to you earlier that I was really excited, shall I say, I'm overloaded sometimes when Pastor Chris has been preaching. The information he's been sharing from us in the scripture has just been amazing. There's almost times that I can't write fast enough, some of the stuff that he's talking about. But I do remember several things that he's been talking about, and the reason that I share that is that what I find is that once I get in the parking lot, and I'm sure this doesn't affect you all, I'm just talking about a guy who barely got through high school, is that by the time I get to Main Street and down Sacred Heart Lane where I live, I almost start to forget some things if I don't go back and look at some of the stuff that I wrote, i.e., the day I gave you cards, I gave them more, I think, for me to keep me on track, number one. But in a little while, I'm going to ask you to participate and write stuff down. Instead of putting in your computer, and if you want to do that, or your iPad, or whatever else you use, that's great. But I was hoping those business cards, especially the second one I'm going to give you towards the end of the service, that you would use that as a reminder as we move through this holiday season about principles that God talks about in the scriptures and how we may be able to apply them in our community and to the people that we meet. I can only speak of the family and the circle of people that I see in the community this year. And certainly this Christmas season is going to be radically different from the past. And if I can just put this up, all right? So this is the Murray tribe, all right? No pun, no bullets, okay? This is our gang last year at my son's house. I can only share with you is that this is not going to happen this year. I don't know what we're going to do, to be very honest with you, because we're trying to be smart in everything that's going on. But we have been blessed beyond imagination. So us not getting together is just, okay, you know, it is what it is. We want to keep everybody healthy on that. But the reason that I share this with you is that I believe that because of this uncertainty, right, even within my family, some of them have a little bit of anxiousness, and I'm very curious about where they are in their hope. Is their hope so focused on us getting together as a family and having a good time and eating way too much food and especially going to Aunt Andy's, which is my oldest son's wife, who's an amazing cook. My wife's a better cook, but Andy's Andy's a very good baking queen. Like, she spends weeks baking cookies, whatever. I don't think I'm going to get any cookies this year. So there's a little bit of hopelessness, shall we say, in regards to that. But I use that to help break the ice a little bit, but I want to make sure that you understand there's a lot of people around us that are in great pain and great frustration. I just want to let that settle in. Great pain and great frustration about what's going on, especially with this time of year. And I didn't even get into the politics. I didn't even get into, you know, all the other hoorah that's going on in the world. I'm just talking about this season in our life. So let me share something to you about hope to try to put it into a Bob version. So Nolly and I, a few years ago, we decided that we're going to try every other year, now that I'm quasi-retired from the fire department, that we were going to travel because there's some places that we wanted to go and visit. So a long time ago, I met a lady, Martin, who was a paramedic in the city of Montreal. She lives about an hour and a half north of Montreal City. We have been friends now for 25 years, and she's now married to Daniel, and every year we try to get together somewhere, normally in Maryland, because they want to come here and, you know, hang out. So they prompted us and said, let's go to Switzerland. I was like, okay, you know, Switzerland, like, I don't know anybody in Switzerland, you know, but I'm sure, you know, we'll just run around, eat cheese, and, you know, do something, but I want to go. So we were really hopeful about this trip. But then we realized there was a lot of planning that had to go behind the scenes. You know, like, there was medical stuff we had to do. We had to go online and, like, figure out where Switzerland was. Don't take it the wrong way. You know, you got to remember, I'm a Baltimorean boy. You know? So, you know, we had to figure out, like, travel arrangements. So, like, we got to fly. You can't go there in a car, right? But then when we get there, how are we going to get from where we got to go? And then they have these metro lines. So do you get a speed pass for that? Do you have to learn their language? How should we carry stuff that we have on us, or our passports current? Because Noli's from the Netherlands and, you know, from the States. So how does that work? Like, when you go through the gate, all that, you know, hoorah. What do we pack? Or shall I say, what should we not pack, all right? So that we're comfortable in all the stuff that we want to do. And it just went on and on. It was months planning that. And then we had, literally, we're so hopeful, we had to, like, put money aside, you know, figure all the hoorah out about the flight and what we're going to do over there, because you knew you were going to go and eat somewhere and all this stuff that's planning and figuring everything out. So the trip finally came and we went. We were super pumped. I think we talked about it. I probably talked about it too much, all right, but we went, and when we got there, we met this family that we never knew, all right, who was friends of my friend Martin, who they met umpty-ump years ago. And they said, you know, you're just going to stay with us free. You know, you just move in with us. You know, I'm like, this is cool. We got, like, a little one-bedroom thing. Unbeknownst to me, all right, he's on a farm, all right, in a 130-year-old home. You know, like, these long, typical Swiss kind of, house or whatever. It was amazing. It was beautiful. I was like, there's no way. Like, this is, like, it was like going to, like, a five-star hotel. We pulled up there. We go upstairs. Here's your room. Chocolate stuff all over the place. Swiss mugs. Cough drops. Because the cough drops, the Swiss cough drops, that's from Fribourg, where he's from. So they make them right there. Windows open. We're looking out across this picturesque scenery, whatever. And the only thing I can hear are cow bells as they walk. Because they have this little ding-a-ling thing that they, so they know where they're at. Because those are the cows that they milk to make all the chocolate and the cheese that goes all over the world. And I'm like, this is like fantasy land. And I'm not. And then the back of his house, like, you know, everything they do there, whatever. And he was like, yeah, you know, like, here's my car, you know, whatever you need, blah blah. I don't even know this guy. So all this hope that we had about this trip and all the things going to do, God had to chuckle that day. When we got in his car and drove, he said, look what I got for you, Bob and Noli. Right? Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about where you got to go. Don't worry to do that. So my hope even though I was trying to package it, was nothing related to what really God had in store for us, right, when we got there. Please don't lose focus of that. I think what's happening right now is that for some of us that kind of have hope, we kind of box it a little bit, you know, like what we might be able to see and not really what it should be. And I know that's a crazy example, but you got to understand me, right, is that for what we really put all our time and energy and resources and planning and what we were hoping for, the end result when we got there was just amazing. And I could literally tell you a ton of stories about that trip. It was just when I thought it was gonna like, it would go up another notch and another notch and another notch. And the people that we met within his family that we never met before treated us like king and queen. It was just unbelievable. I'm wondering what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. Because see, we compartmentize this. You know, Golden Streets, okay, I don't have any concept of all that kind of stuff. I know I'm going to pet a lion. I don't like snakes, right? I don't like snakes, so I'll be able to hang out with a snake. I mean, I could go on and on, right? But I use that as just an example of the future and what the future may hold for us. So this is where we get into more of the teaching part of this, and every one of you has a card, right? I would like you to take a few minutes, and when I say a few minutes, I mean just a few minutes, all right? I would like you to write down at least one thing on that little index card. And if you don't have that, please let me know. I'll be more than happy to dash down and get you one. I want you to honestly, not churchy, honestly, write down something that you're hoping for, please. And for those of you that are online, this is where you're going to get graded. This is almost like virtual learning. I'm going to ask that you would type in something that you're hoping for, because Sheila, unfortunately Sheila's working with me today, to record. She's going to kind of like get it in a category, like what seems to be the top theme or general categories for what's going on today. So would you please take a moment and write down what you are hoping for? By the way, I'm not going to collect these. You won't get graded. So just chill out. If you can multitask, I just want to make sure you know that those of you that have taught before, that it's great that someone speaks to you and you absorb it, but you're going to remember more if you write it. You're going to remember even more if you write it and practice it, which I'll emphasize before we go home today. Just write down a couple things on there. There was two things I was hoping for today, and I'll share them for you with you at the end of service. You're going to get another card at the end of service, which you won't have to write anything, so this will be the most strenuous part of your day if you just jot those things down. And you online, no, don't be running out making breakfast. You need to sit down, pay attention, and put some comments on here, because you're part of the team here that's visiting with us today. I would just ask you, holding that, I'm going to give you another minute or so. I'm actually really excited. I actually see people writing. Awesome. The people online, you keep sending it in. Getting some response, right? Any of them saying they're bringing me cookies? No, I'm only kidding. So that was cheap. I'm sorry. So I want to hit on three themes today, and I'll put them up on the screen for you to do that. So it is important that we try to follow along with some of the things that I'm talking about, because each part builds on that. And I'll give you a great example. If I'm overflowing with hope that's more worldly hope, then I have it backwards. I have to be very careful as a person who believes, all right, that there is a God and he sent a son on his earth and he died and rose again. And because of my belief in him, I have salvation from the blood that was shed on Calvary. It is critical for me to understand then where is my hope really coming from? Because if it's hope that is cookie hope, all right, then it's really unrealistic. So I may not really be overflowing with the joy and peace that God promised us. So we want to try to follow along. The key that we have to remember is God is our hope. And I know a lot of you sitting in the room say, okay, rocket science, like, I understand that. No, I want to emphasize this to you. God is our hope, period. And our hope from him, all right, is it's critical for us that we have to understand, that we have to be careful for what we hope for, because we really shouldn't be hoping for things that we can see, but we need to hope for things that are unseen. An example, I was hoping for a certain situation in Switzerland, but then when we got there, it was completely different than what I hoped for. I know that's a worldly example, but I just use that to emphasize my point. And then the third part is that from that hope from God, and if we're truly hoping in things that are unseen, then we are going to overflow, right? And that kind of contaminates or gets in everybody else's life or in their community to maybe draw them in. And then it's real easy for me, I shouldn't say real easy for me, but it can be easy for me to say, well, the reason I'm busting out of the seams or you see all that stuff is that I'm trying not to put my hope in all the things that are currently going on. I'm trying to put my hope in things in the future, and my real hope really comes from God. What you just did in literally 48 seconds was almost hooked an opening for the gospel. Those three things, you were just able to draw it in. Now, I realize some people say, hey, that's great, Bob, you need to move on, you know, while we're in the grocery store, you know, while you got them pinned down with the 6-foot cart, but, you know, you just need to think about that for just a minute as we go through this. So bear with me as we hit on each one of them. So the first thing that I want to try to get it in context here for God is our hope. So in the Bible, the word hope stands for both the act of hoping and things hoped for. So there is action, and I hate to say anticipation because for some people that's a level of anxiety, but I'll just kind of let that be. So for us, a biblical word for hope basically is that hope stands for two parts of our lives. The act of hoping, right? And then that aspect of things that are hoped for in the future. All right, here's one thing that I'm kind of hoping for in the near future. Right, I wish that my whole family was saved and all my grandkids. I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping that that's something I don't have to hope for too much longer. I know that I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, I would much rather them all be saved, if that makes any sense, or all of them at least reconnect with the church. All right, reconnect with the local community, but that's something that I am hoping for. The dictionary word for hope, all right, is a feeling, an expectation, and a desire for things to happen. I would imagine right now there's a lot of kids that would fit this category, all right? What are they hoping for? One of our grandchildren, we had 11 grandchildren, right? Yeah, we have 11, all right? So I'm working on 12 so I can have a local firebox response for my firefighters that are in here. So two engines and a ladder or a squad. Anyway, so I'm sure there's a lot of kids. So it was his 10th birthday, will be tomorrow. So we got him one of those gaming chairs. You know, you sit in, it's got speakers. I didn't understand it. Nolly prompted me to do it, go online. It's got all those whiz-bang stuff on it. So when he's in it playing, the internet comes through it. He can hear it and do that. And then what I did yesterday when I spoke to him, because he was pretty pumped about it, I said, hey, and maybe now you can do your virtual homework thing in the chair because he'd be excited about doing that rather than sitting at a desk. So I'm sure there was a level of hope, shall we say, that is now complete. It's off the check list or whatever, and I'm going to have to go work tomorrow part-time to pay for it. But anyway, there's that aspect of hope. Right? So one is a biblical aspect, which is action and participation. Another one's kind of a worldly perspective, something that we feel, some expectation of something that's coming in the future. And again, I can just use that from just our trip. So turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. And there's some Bibles in the pew. If not, if you're visiting or you feel a little, that you don't want to participate in physically reading it, it's all cool, all right? Just bear with me, too. I want to go to Psalms 49, verse 4 through 7. And if you'll allow me to read that, and I'm going to kind of slow this down a little bit because I think this is like, there's a big golden nuggets in here for us to remember. Lord, make me aware of my end and the number of days so that I will know how short-lived I am. Verse 5, in fact, you have made my days just inches long, and my lifespan is as nothing to you. Yes, every human being stands as only a vapor. Yes, a person goes about like a mere shadow. Indeed, they rush around in vain, gathering possessions without knowing who will get them. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Man, if there's ever a season where people are running around getting stuff, it is now. My daughter and son-in-law went last Friday, I think. They wanted to go out on a date. We watched the kids or whatever. But then they wanted to do a little Christmas shopping. They got back like an hour later. Josh said that he was dumber than a bag of rocks for even trying to go anywhere near a store because it was just overwhelmed. People were all over the place trying to get things caught up, running around getting a lot of possessions. We are guilty of it. Bob Murray has been guilty of this more than one time. But what I'm finding is the older that I get, I have to realize that what value really is in all of this, shall we say, when I must realize that I'm only here as a vapor. I'm only here as in a short time. You know, when I wrote this sermon, and I literally add it to and cut it all the way up to 5 minutes of 8, because you got to understand how an ADD teacher really works, right? Because it's hard for me to try to make sure that everything is in order. But, you know, I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to be here today. And what I mean by that is not that I was going to die, even though if I am, it's all good. But, that I didn't know whether we're even going to be here. You know, whether the governor was going to say, you know, everything's going to be online. And I was like, well, that's cool. You know, I can just have my coffee mug there and do things going there. So in my mind, I'm like almost saying, but then I'm thinking to myself, like, you just need to chill out a minute, Bob. Focus on what needs to be done, what needs to be presented, right? And stick to your guns. A good friend of mine, right in the middle of yesterday, and I'm not a good person on the phone thing, but they sent me an iMessage, right? And he said, hey, did you hear about so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. He's a friend of mine. He's an ICU nurse, pediatrics. Lives in southern Delaware. A friend of ours passed away. He was in a motorcycle accident. While he was out in a motorcycle, I don't know. But anyway, he passed away. This guy's name is Jim. And Jim said, hey, Bob, I really miss hanging out with you and blah, blah, blah. How are things going? Then he sent me a note, basically one that I would paraphrase of almost a point of no hope. And I was like, man, thanks. You know, I'm going to just cut a piece of the sermon out and send it to him. Right? So he said, there's no hope. He says, I don't know about you, Bob, but I'm trying to elbow my way to get in the front of the line to get this vaccine. He says, I have a rash that's developed on my face from having to wear, you know, PPE or whatever. And he says, I'm working 12 to 14 or 15 hours every day, and I'm exhausted. And he says, when I go outside and take my mask off, when I breathe fresh air, at times, it actually makes him nauseated to the point that, you know, that he wants to vomit. He's so concerned about what's going on. He even went even further to basically say that he just wishes that this was over, that it's almost a hopeless state. So I immediately shot him a text message back, and I was like, brother, it's so good to hear you. May God bless you. I appreciate everything you're doing. Please do not give up hope, because this is just a very short-term thing. It's something we're passing. But you know, when you're in the middle of all that, it's hard for me to, I understand where this may not make any sense, where it's hard to absorb, because you're like, oh, Bob, that's great. The scriptures say that I'm only here for a short time, and that what I'm doing here on this earth, does it really matter? All these things I want to do, because maybe I would just rather do those things. I would rather have those possessions. I want to travel. I just want to be away from it all. I want to turn it all off. And I see all these people, and I see this situation, and it just wears me out. Well, let me share something with you. There was someone else that saw it too. Lived it. Ate it. Absorbed it. That's why, in my perception, why Jesus, when he was on this earth, there was a level of critical desperation to get to the cross. He knew he had to die for us, and he knew what was going to happen on December the 20th of 2020. He knows the future about what's going on, and this is why it's so important for us, my dear brothers and sisters, that we understand that in our things that we do, and I realize that some of it is, you know, we want to visit family and do those things. I'm not busting anybody for that. That's not what I'm talking about. But what are we really doing that really matters? Because really, our life does not matter in those worldly things. It's the footprint and the legacy that we leave of what God has done in our life to change our life. Because I'm a firm believer that no matter what the situation is you're going through, and I've learned this from hard life experiences, is that it never ceases to amaze me what the next day is going to bring. And if we're in tune through the Holy Spirit with a repentant heart, you might be surprised that the reason you have gone through these things is because God's getting you ready, because he needs you to be part of the change, shall we say, on this side, to something that's going on right now. Forgive us for the opportunities that we have had because of all our life experiences where we have no courage, no bravery, no passion, no heart to even care for our brothers and sisters who desperately need us. May Bob confess that to you. May I never have another day like that. Never. And the reason that I say that is that we have to stop playing for 45 minutes in church that this is what we're going to do. This should just be a plug-in for us for the scriptures of Psalm. This should just be, hey, Bob, don't forget that when you leave here, this. I don't want to get into a long story, but I have to share something. The reason that I share that is that when I hear people that want to give up, I am desperate to tell them, don't you dare. Don't you dare take your life. Don't you dare quit. Because I can tell you that just in my life, knowing these things, because I'm only here for a short time, that I guarantee you, you may not like this now, but I guarantee you, whatever you went through, God wants to use it here. Maybe the next day, months, years to come down the road. So I'm glad when you listen to me, but it has nothing to do with me. It's just my passion that I know that my hope is in God. And I want to see things that are unseen. I want to see the future in you as you serve the community. And so because of that, there's an overflow of me of hope for you, if that makes any sense, on how God's going to use you. So I love you, brother. I want to make sure you know that. And I am honored that you're here with us today. The other thing that I want to share with you, and the aspect of that, is the hope for things that are not seen. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 24 through 25. Romans 8, 24 through 25. Romans 8, verse 24 through 25. Now, in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. Because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. We should be very careful in hoping for things that we see. The true mark of us in our faith, this hope that we have, is the ability for us to not be so concerned about hoping for things that we see. So Nolly recently ordered some stuff on Amazon, some kitchen towels. I thought it was interesting. I don't know how many she ordered, blue and red, you know, half a dozen of them, whatever. So they came in a package yesterday, the day before, and opened up. So, well, that's really nice, because that's a smart thing for a husband to say, is that these are really nice tea towels, whatever. And then when I looked at it, I almost had by osmosis, you can call it the Holy Spirit, but on those things it's osmosis, that the reason she bought dark towels is that I am famous for using towels that are not dark to clean everything. So Nolly's hope, right, was that she's no longer going to allow me to have a towel that is light in color, right? So that if I mess it up, A, she won't be able to see it, or B, that it was done that. And while she's unfolding this, fortunately she was chuckling, so I knew I was relatively safe in the conversation that we were having about this, is that that's a habit that I have, right? That whatever is close is what I use, regardless of the task that I'm doing. So if I am painting, doing something very filthy, basically even wash my hands, things of that nature, I tend to mess things up. So Nolly, in her hope for me to change my behavior, was basically futile. So she decided to change some of the stuff that was in the way, shall we say, so that we could figure out what was going on. This is not what I'm talking about as far as scriptural hope. If we are saved, where we truly believe that God sent his Son on this earth to die on a cross for us, then our hope can't be on things that we see. I even like to go one step further in those things that's almost obtainable, shall we say, things that we can always kind of grasp, even though it's a little, you know, I don't want to take anything away from the scriptures. I just try to take it to one level. But the things that we cannot see. Because our hope really needs to be in things that are unseen, and we should eagerly await for those things, but to have patience with that. Yeah, that's hilarious, all right? So, Bob has problems with his patience. And I'm sure anybody that knows me, you understand where I'm going with this, is that if something doesn't get done in a certain fashion or time way, then I'm kind of like a, you know, I'm going to go after it. I'm going to do everything that I can to try to fix it, shall we say, or move forward on it. That's one. Number two is that we have to understand that if I'm truly a believer, right, then our genuine hope needs to be focused on things that we cannot see, things that, shall we say, in the future, short-term or long-term. I share with you that one of my hopes is, even though I hope it's not long-term, is the fact that all my family would be believers and they would be plugged in somewhere serving, using their time, their talents, and their finances for things that I feel are more of greater value. It'd be interesting to see what each one of us is really hoping for. So I asked you a few minutes ago if you would just jot down a few things that you are hoping for. And we also ask all our brothers and sisters who is ever visiting with us today online if they would do that also. So I'm going to ask Sheila, if she's about ready, if you can tell me what some of the people that were online, what are some of the things that they're kind of hoping for?
Sure. Some of the main things were family health.
Family health, thank you.
Family salvation.
Salvation.
And a lot of unity and peace throughout our nation.
Unity in the nation, thank you. Is that good? Now how about from you all? I realize you can't get up and don't want you to take your face mask off. You're going to get a bzzz, you know, but what do you think? What are some of the things that you said? Yes, Greg? Salvation, good. Who else? I'm just going to ask a few. You're not in trouble. I'm not going to collect them. Yes, Kathleen? Thank you. Yeah, amen. Okay, good. Anyone else? Yes? Thank you. Good. How about any of our younger folks? Did they write anything down? You know, those younger folks. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Good to see you, by the way. Good to see all you guys. So, good. What else? Anyone? One more? I know it's awkward. You're like, we got to say something at church? Like, yeah. Can I throw a commercial in here real fast? I don't know how you all can sit still when Chris is preaching. It's okay to say amen. Clap your hands, you know, and I realize I don't want to insult anyone if your level of reverence, you know, that I'm okay with that, but like there are times I'm like busting out in the back. And, you know, so why not in a maybe we'll have to have a whole sermon on what you're supposed to do if you're excited in church. I don't know. You all do very well outside of here, you know. So I just want to encourage you that it's okay to, you know, diplomatically, you know, express yourself. Because Chris and his whole family is a huge blessing to us. And I'm telling you, the stuff that he's been sharing, I almost feel bad for him. Like, he's just rolling, and then he stops, and, like, everybody's just looking at him. Like, we're at Eline's funeral home. And I'm like, come on. You know, like, can't you get a little excited? Maybe today, just emphasize our hope. If we're hoping that things unseen, he's kind of emphasizing. At least we can agree by saying amen. Like, I understand. I'm with you, you know. So I'm done. I'm sorry. But it's just nuts because I hear you all in the parking lot. And if I go in the parking lot and said, hey, come over to my house to eat, or we're doing that, you're like talking and going on. I come in here and like, yeah. All right. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean to get off on that, but I did. It's just too bad right now, so it's already done. So again, I want to emphasize to you is that in a season where there seems to be great hopelessness, it's important that we understand that we need to have patience. Patience for a vaccine. Patience for peace in the political arena. Patience for salvation. For our loved ones, patience for our family, patience for unity, patience for strength, patience for how we're going to handle ourselves when we leave this building, patience for will this pain ever go away from some physical ailment, patience in our attitudes, patience in our ability to serve others. And the list can go on and on and on. And I'm grateful that our families at home participated in this and shared some of these things because it's so important that we understand that. So our hope truly needs to be in God. And in God, it is very, very important that we understand that in the Psalms, it talks about that we need to be reminded that our life is just a vapor. It's just measured in inches. It's not that God doesn't care about that, but he sees the grand picture. He sees from beginning to the end. He sees everything. So for us, we're just this little grain. of sand on the beach. We're just this little speck in our timeline, and we should use our time that we're here to the best of the ability. And everything that we do, we give glory to God. In the days that we fail, we just ask Him to forgive us and give us strength to move forward on that. I know you know this. I know you know this. But again, I just want to remind you, because it has been a crazy year. And the battle is not over. It is not over. We still have a way to go, shall we say. So we have to understand that. And my last thing that I want to share with you, I don't know what happened here, is the overflow with hope. And if you will turn again in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the overflow of hope. I want to share something with you as you do this. And I'm just going to chuckle because I'm such a goober. So I have a water bottle that I try to keep with me. And for some of you all, you may be very particular about what you have in your water bottle. Like, you know, I'll pick on Miss Amy. I'm just going to guess, all right, from Miss Amy. Is that being the nurse and military background. So I would imagine that once she drinks that bottle, whatever is in there, she probably rinses it out, refills it, you know, puts it all on. She probably doesn't keep that bottle for like 3 weeks, if that makes any sense, and just keep adding to it without doing something. Am I basically correct? Miss Amy had that feeling, okay? All right. Bob does not do that. Bob just, like, it gets low, I just refill. It gets low, I just refill. I just washed it the other day because I thought, oh, well, maybe I've contaminated this thing to some degree. And when I say I take it with me, I'm talking firehouse, I'm talking construction sites, you know, grandkids drink out or whatever. I know you're all going to get sick now. So, you know, so this whole thing. So the reason I share that is that it was almost done, and I had a seltzer water that was in a bottle left, maybe like yay. So I poured that into the water bottle, and then I filled my water bottle with some ice and stuff like that, and I put the lid on it, and I put it in my truck, and I drove to Sparrows Point, Maryland. Well, I don't know if you all know anything about science or energy, but you should never put something that is highly carbonated like seltzer water in a water bottle, especially when the tube for the sippy thing goes all the way to the bottom. So in my truck, I'm driving down the highway, and I know you're not supposed to do this according to county code. Bottom line is I scramble for my water bottle, and I pop that thing, you know, that brings the sippy straw out, and the water literally straight up, hit the ceiling of my truck, rained down on my head, all right, and it literally made me look like, you know, I didn't get to the bathroom in time. I mean, it was terrible. And I'm driving, and you see this, and I am laughing at myself because I was like, wow, like, what happened? All right. Remember, I told you it was all I could do to get through Franklin. All right. Then I realized that I put that carbonated seltzer water in the bottle. Dummy. I mean, it was everywhere. As a matter of fact, it was so bad that I went to the job site, got back out of the job site, and the stuff was still dripping ever so lightly from the ceiling. I just put my ball cap on, just kept on riding. I got out of the truck in an all-male construction environment. Yes, I was, you know, do I need a diaper, you know? So I just went on. Now, I know that that's nuts, right? But that's all how we ought to be because of what God has done for us. And I'm not talking about stuff all over our pants. I'm just talking about that when someone talks to us or sees us, we should be overflowing, right, in what we want to do. So isn't that cool this week that God allowed all that stuff to splash on me? See, that's how He works with me. That's how He teaches me. That's how He reminds me that. And some of you are going to like really not like this, but you know, when He went to the cross, He saw me spill all that stuff in my lap. Now, Bob, that's ridiculous. You know, He's seeing it. No, like if He really knows me and created me and saw everything, then He saw that silly day that I had in the truck. Well, that's impossible, Bob. This is more of a spiritual thing. No, you need to regroup. Because see, He knows in order to get my attention, I need to make a mess every once in a while. I'm going down the road, and I told Noli, I said, man, I definitely know what I got to talk about. Not about the water bottle, but I got to talk about our love, since I'm focused on Him as best as I possibly can, that I should be overflowing with this hope, overflowing with this hope. So in Romans 15, 13, if you'll please follow along with me. Now, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you believe, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because, oh, by the way, remember how much God loved us and sent his Son on this earth to die for us. But then he said, I will never leave you. I am leaving you and empowering you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us, is all part of us. Pastor Chris like nailed it on the head these past couple weeks, just rendering the aspect of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and going before us. So we're not by ourselves, but this hope that's overflowing should be driven through the Holy Spirit and not the flesh, if that makes any sense. So our love for God, the things that go on in our life, need to overflow. Need to overflow. For you see, God is our hope. And we talk very, very briefly about that. That God in the Psalms talks about that our lives are just a vapor, a very, very short time frame that we're here on this earth. And we need to be very, very careful at placing our hope in things that are seen. We need to focus on things that are unseen. The future, shall we say. Whatever that has to be. I'll share this with you. I have already told my family. They do not like the times when I talk about one day I'm going to die. Nolly's actually made a spiritual pact, all right? I think that she keeps telling me that she wants to die first so that she doesn't have to be without me. And I see some other husband and wives looking at each other. So maybe y'all, see, that must be a spiritual thing, all right? I know it's a terrible thing to talk about for Christmas, but I just want to share some stuff with you, is that one day Bob Murray's going to die. Got it? All right, good. And at that funeral, if it's here or wherever it's going to be, or maybe it'll just be rapture and we're all out of here and we'll just have it up there when we're having pizza and seeing the lines, is that when I die, all right, I've already told my family, I don't want all this sadness and all this craziness. I want a pine box and I want Sharpies. And I want people to chill out a minute. I want people to write on the coffin with a Sharpie, all right? You know, whatever they want to write. I want to put some stuff. I don't want all this hoorah. I want a party afterwards. Respectable party, right? And the reason I share that is that I am just passing through. All this time here, all my energies I expend, if they're not for God and not overflowing and not affecting others, don't mean a hill of beans. Even though there's times I've put all my energy and all my focus on that. And I'm ashamed of that, but I'm tired of that. I don't want to waste any more time. Because see, one day I'm going to die. It's going to happen. It may happen in 15 minutes. I don't know. I'm ready. I think. All right? Got everything filled out. Figure out where my papers are going to go, who's getting what, whatever, you know. I know, Nolly, I'm probably going to get a lecture, but I just know that. But I share that is that I really believe that a lot of times the reason we have no hope and we can't overflow is we're so worried about what's going to happen in the future, we need to realize that we don't belong here. When I was in Switzerland, I was passing through. Now, would I go back and hang out? Absolutely. All right? I don't belong there. And what I saw there is nothing in compared to the future. With the things that I see, as much as I love hanging out with my grandkids most of the time, right? It don't mean nothing. I'm just passing through. One day I'm hoping that all of us can be together regardless of that. Because that's really where my hope is for the future. So God is our hope. I'm just passing through. It's short-lived. We need to hope for things that we don't see. I would encourage you this Christmas season, starting in a half an hour when you leave here after the ordination or whatever, is that as we go forward, there are things literally being prepared for us that are unseen at the moment that God has in store for us that he needs us to participate in. I love talking to people. I love lines. Every line I get in is slow. I want to make sure you know that. That's spiritual, right? Because then it just allows me to talk to people. I was talking to a lady yesterday, dropped a bunch of strawberries. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I was like, wow, this is going to be great if I can help pick up strawberries. Maybe I can just ask her if she likes fruit. I don't know. So anyway, dropped all these strawberries, picked the thing up. I said, wow, you really need another shopping cart. She said, oh, yeah. She said, I'm petrified. I really don't even want to be the store. And as soon as she said that, I just want to make sure I was 6 foot apart. I said, I understand how you feel. She said, I'm just trying to get these groceries and, you know, get out of Dodge and, you know, all this kind of stuff and whatever. And I said, I really hope you have a blessed Christmas, because I know it's just crazy right now. And if you just have a little bit of peace. So I go outside, she's there, stuff in the grocery cart, whatever. And she just comes back on a conversation. She goes, you know, right, you're right. Like, I really shouldn't be so, you know, freaking out so bad and all this kind of stuff. I said, look, I understand, you know, how you may feel, whatever, to do that. And I know that sounds as simple as it possibly be, but I'm stunned with mask on, how everybody is that there's tons of opportunities that are unseen that we're missing. And that was cheap, what I just said. Cheap. All right? There's brothers and sisters in our church this Christmas morning who are going to be by themselves. That needs to not happen. Did you hear me, church? There are brothers and sisters in our church that are going to be by themselves Christmas morning. That needs to not happen. Oh, well, we got to follow the protocol. Just chill out, all right? Wash your hands, wear a mask, 6 foot apart, do something, go to breakfast. I don't know, but we gotta make sure they're taken care of. And the needs are probably even greater, all right? The needs are probably even greater. Even the people that may be online, and I've spoke to a few people that are literally being online from the beginning, I'm telling you, man, they're lonely. They're hurting. They could use some additional encouragement beyond the ministry of the church. Don't put all our eggs in one basket. Do something that's outside the box for those that are so need, desperate, some ray of hope. Because truly, if our hope is in God, and our hope is in things that are unseen, those needs, and I realize that maybe you would think that's a physical need, something that we can grasp, take care of, that's certainly okay. But I'm talking about a grander picture. Because of our faith in God, because of our hope, because of us trying to do our best to concentrate on things that are unseen, then it should be very easy for us to overflow with hope. Now, I do know there are times when you're busting out the seams and someone just smacks you right down again. You're right. Guess what? God saw that. Get up. Suck it up. Stop whining. All right? And go to the next person that dropped the strawberries. All right? You know, go, just move on, press on with that. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about all the stuff you got to get ready. And think about the needs of those around you that you may not even know. And certainly the ones you do know, that's kind of an easy, you can kind of anticipate where the needs are if we go on that. Well, we should be overflowing with this hope. Because God truly is our hope. Our hope really needs to be on things that we do not see. And then because of that, our overflow should just be busting out the seams to reach other people. So today, I'm hoping that this message, in its simplicity, even though many of you truly understand it, like, yeah, yeah, Bob, I got it. I hope that it's something that's really going to spur us on, because we only have a very short window of an opportunity to serve others. And I'm not talking about Christmas season. I'm not talking about that, because the scriptures tell me so. The scriptures tell me that I'm only here as a vapor. I may only have so long to do something. So in my mind, I say, you know what? In a couple weeks, I'm going to call my buddy Jim back. Nope. I said, we're going to get together, you know, real quick. Are those in the community that I'm around, the people that I see, what are their needs right now? What are some things that I can do either remotely or directly to help them? So true hope is for those that are called as his disciples. So if I can speak to two groups today, those of you that have made a profession of faith, those of you that are called a disciple of Christ, we have to be re-energized, a reminder that regardless of this COVID and the politics and social distancing and all these kind of things, not that we disrespect that or we say, well, you know, I don't care about that, I'm going to do whatever I want. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there still an opportunity for us to be overflowing with hope and serve others? And it has to be. It can't wait. We can't wait, well, I'll do more when I have the vaccine. I'll do more when I do X, Y, Z. No, we cannot. I was on a conference network with my bride for 8 hours last week with the Noble City Collective, which is a group of church planners, of which my son and his wife and many brothers and sisters that I've known for as long as I've probably known Nick and Brian Engelman and some of these other young men that are in here now. And I'm telling you, you would not believe what's happening in the communities in regards to the presentation of the gospel and serving others. It's exciting. There were people from Michigan and Orlando and from the Baltimore metro area, international missions or whatever. And I'm telling you, these men understand the promise of hope. Their families understand the promise of hope. And they're overflowing, and they're not letting anything get in their way, if that makes any sense. They're seeing all these obstacles that are out there because of social issues and the COVID, et cetera, but they're continuing to press on. Press on to the point that they realize that traditional things that they do just don't work anymore, if that makes any sense, because of the community, because of their calling of the Holy Spirit, and they're willing to slam the brakes on and do whatever's required to get the gospel out to these men. It was encouraging. It was mind-boggling what this group has done. And I'm not taking anything away from that. It's happening all over the world, not just in our clique or in our group that's going on, but there's a passion of hope in a hopeless state that we're in right now. If for nothing else, that should be encouraging to you, that the work about us is all over us. And it doesn't have to be so specific of you being challenged on a mission trip. As soon as we bust through those doors, we're on a mission field. What do you, you know, maybe every Sunday we ought to have like a recommissioning. You know? We got work that we need to get done. I got work to do at Reisterstown Firehouse. I got work to do locally. I want to do everything I can to help my brothers and sisters there. I want them to truly see that I'm the same goober there as I am here, and that I have faults and I mess up, but there's a difference in my life because of the hope that I have for the things that are unseen, the future. So today, my dear brothers and sisters, I just want to make sure that you understand that your community desperately needs you, your family desperately needs you, and if we are truly overflowing with this joy and that hope that we have, I pray that it is not fake, that it is not shallow, that it is not just a 45-minute thing while you're in this building or during church time, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you are literally busting out of your seams with hope for others. Because our community, our neighborhood, our coworkers, those peers that we have, and those that we have not met, it is highly probable that God is setting the stage for us now to be re-energized. Not in a remote way, not in a confined way, but truly as a messenger, one-on-one, in some aspect. They want to see someone who is real. They want to see someone who is honest. They want to see someone that is quickly able to sprinkle grace over them and truly love them. So if that is our calling as a disciple of Christ, who we have a great hope for the future, and we know that where we're going, we know that the time frame that we may have on this earth, even though not measured by time, but we know that it is short-lived as we are passing through, that our community desperately needs real and genuine people. So I challenge you today. I challenge you to challenge me. I challenge us to challenge one another to get on with it and be in a great position, because the Christmas holiday and everything that's going on right now will allow for tremendous opportunity to be opened up to us. I love you guys. I want to make sure you know that. And I appreciate Chris even asking me to preach. This is a very humbling thing for me. My wife will tell you that, you know, this is very hard for me to do. I want to make sure you know that. Even though you may think I'm comfortable, it's not. It's very humbling. So I'm going to ask the worship team If you would start working your way up here before we... Because I just want to close in a very short prayer, because we're going to move on to some really cool stuff with the deacon ordination. As one of my brothers, I thought I saw him back there, my IT guy, right? He's being ordained and in ministry. And I briefly spoke to you last week, brother. I love you. I really want to encourage you in this next level of service, shall we say, within our community. All right, so I just want to have a very quick prayer, if you don't mind, before I turn this over for the deacon ordination. So thank you all. I love you. Lord God, we just thank you for an opportunity to be together in your house. I thank you for my brothers and sisters for their tolerance and just hearing what had to be said. I pray, Lord, that these three simple things about that God is really our hope, and we need to hope for things that we can't see. And that because of those things, Father, we're just kind of overflowing with hope. I just pray that it would just be a witness to those. Let it be, in its simplest form, an opportunity to serve others and encourage others in a time where the world would make us think that things are absolutely hopeless when they're not hopeless. So help us, Father. I also pray for those that are online, that are tuning in, Lord, that you would give them great hope and encourage them to be in a position to serve. And we just thank you for your love for us. And I just pray you would be with us as we continue this service today. In your son's name, amen.